Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we will conclude our short series of studies on Christian goals. Already we have considered the goal of faith, and that is to know Christ. We've considered the goal of love, and that is to be with Christ. We like to be with those that we love. And then today we wish to consider, with the help of the Lord, the goal of hope, and that is to rest in Christ. Christ is our entire goal all the way through. Now, on the study today, we wish to consider Christ as the anchor of our hope, as the anticipation of our hope, as the effect of our hope, as the realization of hope. There's a difference between the hopes of the Scriptures and the hopes of this earth. All of earth's hopes have an if connected with them. If health permits, if circumstances permit, if indeed it's the Lord's will, our idea, and not his. There is an if connected and shadowing all of earth's hopes. But there are no ifs in God's hope. God's hope is sure. God's hopes are always promises. That's why they're hopes. And God never goes back on his word. He always keeps his word. And when we're talking about the hopes of Scriptures, we're talking about something that is going to happen. And as we read today, he is the anchor of hope, the anticipation of hope, the effect of hope, and the realization of hope. We read in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 1 these words. Paul, introducing the epistle, Paul, the apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Now, in the Authorized Version, the words which is, are indeed in italics. That means that they're not in the original text. They are supplied by the translators, not in the original language, I should say. They are supplied by the translators to smooth out the translation. Actually, it should be read this way. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. And he is that indeed. Now let's talk about him as our hope. And see the certainty and the security. Don't we want security in this age? Everything seems to be going wrong. It seems that the entire atmosphere is pervaded by doubt and uncertainty in this day and age. And all the real verities, all the realities are in God and in his word. Listen, if you please, now, while we read about the anchor of hope that is brought before us in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 18 to 20. We read there that by two immutable things, we've been just talking about that, things that can't be changed, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, that we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. Now notice, please, how many times hope is mentioned, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Now the hope is spoken of here as an anchor. What does an anchor do? It keeps you from drifting. And Christ keeps us from drifting. That hope is an anchor. In the book of Hebrews, we read of Christ being the anchor in so many different ways. Now, he's spoken of here as in the anchor, per se. The word anchor is used. But in the process, or in the text, rather, of the book of Hebrews, we see him as the anchor of creation. Now, the word anchor there is not seen, per se. But it is there brought out in the truth. We have the same thing true. He's the anchor of humanity. He's the anchor of apostleship, the anchor of rest, the anchor of the priesthood, the anchor of the soul, the anchor of the new covenant, the anchor of sacrifice, the anchor of the individual, the anchor of faith, the anchor of contentment, the anchor of help, and the anchor of peace. Now, this is a long list. This study, perhaps we shall take up on the radio, the anchors of Hebrews, because our Lord is indeed the subject matter. He is the anchor. He's said to be that which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. And oh, we want in this day security. And we have that security in Christ. He is coming again. He is the subject of our hope, the anticipation of our hope. Let's consider that. The anticipation of our hope, the subject of our hope himself. And you notice, please, as we read, Christ is the one who's the center upon whom it rests. Here it is. Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We're looking for that hope. Christ is coming back to this earth again. Thank God. He's promised to come back. If I go away, I shall come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. He says that in the 14th chapter of 1 John. He's coming back, and he's going to receive us. He never goes down, or never goes flat on his promises. He always keeps them. All right, let's go on now. What will that hope have as an effect in our life? How will it stabilize our lives to have a hope like this? Christ is coming back. He promised to come back. He's coming back to the air. And some of these days, and I feel very soon, millions of Christians in this world are going to disappear in a moment of time. Christ is coming back. And he's going to rapture away, snatch away, if you please. That's the force of the word rapture. He's going to snatch away his beloved and take them home to heaven. Now, that's brought out in the Bible as no other truth is brought out. As a matter of fact, Dr. Harry Ironside mentions that the second coming of Christ is mentioned on the average of every 23 verses in the New Testament. Every 23 verses. And he had, Dr. Ironside, had a custom of preaching on the coming of Christ at least twice a year that he might fulfill that ratio. Think of it, if you will, please. Christ is coming back to this earth. Now, the effect of that hope is a righteous life. We read in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8 these words. Paul is speaking to his son Timothy. This is his last epistle, incidentally. Here he says in verse 8, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that also love his appearing." Now, if you love the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to live for him. I saw a motto in the village of a chapel, on the walls of a chapel in a certain village. And the motto read like this: "Live as though Christ is coming today. Think as though Christ is coming today. Do as though Christ were coming today." And indeed he is. We ought to anticipate the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we do, it's going to have a difference in our lives. We also read in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 3 these words: "Beloved, now are we the sons of God." We don't have to wait till heaven till we get there. We're that right now. "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Notice, please, this next verse: "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." Longing, anticipating the coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ will have an effect in our daily lives. I remember that my brother and I, when we were boys, we were just the typical boys. My mother would go away on a visit after we were old enough to be left alone, and she says, "Now, boys, behave yourself. I'm coming home, and you're supposed to behave yourselves when I'm gone." All right. We let her get out the door and get down the street, and things would break loose. But after a while, there was a sobering effect. Mom's coming home. She may come home right immediately. Let's get this house straightened up. It had an effect, her promise to return. And the promise of Christ to return should have an effect, a practical effect in our lives. Wherefore, we read there in 1 John, "Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." Now let's talk about the realization of the hope. It's going to happen. And this is the way it's going to happen. In the 4th chapter of 1 Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul writes to these Thessalonian Christians who were losing some of their loved ones by the avenue of death, by the means of death. And they thought, are they going to miss the coming of Christ now? They're going to be dead. They can't hear his voice. They can't hear his shout. Will they be left behind? Paul writes this portion of Scripture to ease their minds. Here it is. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep," that is, Christians, "falling asleep in death, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice, with the trump of God, and with the dead in Christ. The dead in Christ rather shall rise." I'm going to read that verse again. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." And I must read that verse again. "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." Blessed hope, blessed words. Our Father, today we thank you for the coming again of our Lord Jesus, that he may give us the realization of this wonderful, wonderful hope. We thank thee for it in Christ's name. Amen.